and good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas listening area. As you know, you can hear this program every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station or online at grnonline.com, or you can always download the free Guadalupe Radio Network app and listen there. I'd like to encourage you to join our Facebook page at GRN South and Central TX. Want to thank everyone who is tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course, right here in San Antonio. We're grateful that you have decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. And as you know, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, it's an exciting day today. We have Sandra Salinas, and let me tell you who Sandra is. She's our newest GRN family member. Okay, she is, her role is going to be our, or is, our GRN event planner. Happy to welcome her. We're going to talk to her when we get started. So Sandra Salinas is on board first day. Matter of fact, she's been here 4 hours. So it's going to be fun. And we're going to talk to her a little, get to know her a little bit, if you will. On the second portion of today's program, I'm going to welcome Jason King. He's the chair and director over at the St. Mary's University Center for Catholic Studies. It's going to be exciting talking to him and getting caught up on what they do over at the Center for Catholic Studies. You're going to want to tune in. I'm really looking forward to these discussions. Now, we always begin in prayer. I was just telling Sandra, we begin in prayer. Anything we do here at the Guadalupe Radio Network, whether it's Share-a-thon or local programs or just coming to work. But want to pray for, if you can, Father Jimmy Drennan over at St. Margaret Mary. If you haven't heard, his residence and the rectory caught fire on Saturday. It was before the vigil mass, and lots of prayers to him. It was all over the news, but you know, nobody got hurt, thank God. But we do want to pray for, you know, St. Margaret Mary, their parishioners there, Father Jimmy Drennan. So keep them in your prayer. And of course, keep Archbishop Gustavo, Bishop Gary, Bishop Arturo, and retired Bishop Boulette in your prayers, as well as our priests, deacons, seminarians, our sisters out there, our nuns. I mean, we want to keep them in our prayer. And all religious, if you're a religious education coordinator, we want to pray for you. And, of course, pray for our country. It's so important that we pray for our country, right? So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And just like that, we are up and running. I want to thank, first of all, everyone over at St. Dominic Catholic Church off Ingram Road. I was there this past weekend for the vigil mass and the masses on Sunday. Thank you to Father Jaime Paniagua. Thank you, Father Jaime, for having me out there. Lots of stickers were handed out. Lots of people were coming up and talking to me about GRN and what they love about the Guadalupe Radio Network. And it's so enlightening. It's so enlightening to talk to everyone about, you know, what they love most about the daily programming that we provide. And I think I just about heard every one of our programs out there, from Dr. Ray to Catholic Answers to Morning Joy to The Quest. I mean, it was incredible. And when I show a sticker of 89.7, the local San Antonio station, I always ask, how many listeners do I have out there? And I'm telling you, this is a packed church. Okay, there's probably like 400 or 500 people there. And a ton of people raised their hands. So, you know, it's just great to go out and meet, you know, everyone at these different parishes. And I love doing that. It's called a pulpit talk. I give a talk at the end of announcements. And I'll tell you what, it is so enlightening afterwards to talk to everyone. So St. Dominic Catholic Church, thank you for all that you did this past weekend. Thank you for all you do. And Father Hyman, thank you very much for having the Guadalupe Radio Network out there. I want to let you know what is coming up. There's so much coming up. I know we're at the end of June, but June 29th to be exact. But, you know, we got 4th of July celebrating our nation's birthday, 250 years. What a celebration that's going to be. And that's going to be this weekend. But July the 18th, I want to let everybody know that Father Abel Ruiz over at St. Bonaventure, they are going to have their festival. It's their summer festival, and Father Ruiz is inviting everyone to come out. Last year, I was out there. I did a live remote from the festival, and it was so incredibly fun. And so I want to encourage you to go out there. They're out off Palo Alto Road, St. Bonaventure Catholic Church. And again, Father wants everybody to come out. I'm going to do a live remote this year as well, so I'll be out there, and I'll have plenty of stickers, pens, and you know, come see us, come talk to us. St. Bonaventure, again, that's July 18th. Now, July the 25th is the 11th annual Colby Prison Ministry Conference. Colby spelled with a K, K-O-L-B-E. The prison ministry is having their conference at St. Paul Catholic Church Community Center. And you want to go to Colby Prison Ministries, that's with a K, K-O-L-B-Y, prisonministries.org. For more information and to register. You want to make sure that you register for that. I know Bishop Gary's going to be speaking there. Father Mitch Pockwood's going to be there as a speaker. Father Ortega is going to be there, and it's going to be an incredible, incredible conference that you do not want to miss. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention also the what's coming up, the Fullness of Truth, okay? Fullness of Truth is coming up in August. It's their 20th annual San Antonio Conference. It's going to be over at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort, and that's going to be August the 21st. I'm looking forward to that because I guarantee that is going to be an incredible event to go to. You do not want to miss out on that. Fullness of Truth, it's the 20th annual, and I guarantee you, you're gonna love the time that you have there. That conference is, it always has plenty of speakers, and they are incredible. It's over at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort, and they have a new lake out there. I think it's like a full lake that you can go out there, make your reservations, take the family out, and I guarantee you're going to have a great time. And then the Pilgrim Center of Hope, they've got their, I've got some information on our website, but you know, they got their conference coming up. And I want to make sure I'm bringing that up right now because it is the Marian Conference, okay? And you need to register now if you can because there's not many days left. 25 days. It's they've got a ticker on their website over at pilgrimcenterofhope.org. Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th. It's at the Boeing Center Techport, okay? So that's coming up in July. There's so much going on in July that you want to go into their website and check this out because they've got a lot of information. You do have to register so you get that lunch and all that good stuff. So again, that's the pilgrimcenterofhope.org. Click on their events button and you'll see everything about that. So I think that brings us to, you know, our first guest, our newest GRN family member. First day is today. She is our GRN events planner, and her name is Sandra Salinas. So, Sandra, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having me. It's been exciting so far. Been here for a couple hours and, you know, hitting the ground running, getting started. But thank you very much. It truly is a blessing to be here and an honor for me to be with the GRN family. So thank you for having me on the show today.
Of course. You know, and I was talking to Sean last week. I said, you know, when Sandra comes in, I think I want to, I know I want to introduce her to our listening audience here in South and Central Texas. Now, she's going to be she's our events planner. So there are tons of events that go on, you know, amongst 48 stations nationwide. And You're going to be very busy, but before we get to that busyness, let's get to know a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your family, where y'all go to church, you know, how involved are you at your parish? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, yes, I've been married for 17 years to my husband. He's a United States Marine Corps veteran.
Ooh.
So, and we have two beautiful and amazing children. Keep me busy all the time. I have a 19-year-old, Diego, and my daughter, 15, Mia, which is going on 30. She thinks she's 30 years old.
Don't they? Yeah, they all do, right?
But yes, we're our family parish is at St. Anthony Claret.
St. Anthony Mary Claret. I love that. It's a beautiful, beautiful church.
Yes, very, very beautiful. Been there since Mia was probably 7. We've traveled a lot with my husband too, so we've lived in Fort Worth and Kansas, but decided to come back home to be with family.
Well, you're not in Kansas anymore, Sandra.
No, I'm not.
I've always wanted to say that. I finally got to get that in. St. Anthony Mary Claret, that we do our annual car raffle out there, and the parishioners out there are incredible. Did you grow up here in San Antonio?
I did. I'm a native of San Antonio, yes. Born and raised here in San Antonio. Traveled a little bit with my husband, but I always come back home.
So. Yeah, so your home's here, family's here. High school, went to high school and all
that? I went to high school here. I started off at Harlandale High School, but then graduated from James Madison.
We moved
out to the north side.
From the Indians to the Mavericks.
Yes, exactly, yes.
My goodness, that's your homegrown. Which is awesome. And tell us about your faith journey. Like, you know, I know coming to work for the Guadalupe Radio Network, you know, we talk about our faith journey. Everybody has a journey, right? And so tell us a little bit about that faith journey and anything else you want to talk about.
Well, just, you know, I've always found myself wanting to work in nonprofits and to stay with the church. I want to have a purpose in what I'm doing in life. And I'm just really excited and happy to be here. And God just led me to this position, and I'm excited. It's my first day today, and I'm already, you know, ready. I'm ready to go, and, you know, I admire GRN's commitment to sharing the Catholic faith and bringing people closer to Christ. I want to be a part of that. For me, this isn't just another job. It's an opportunity to use my talents and service in serving God and his people.
What did you like about when you heard, you know, on the radio, hey, we're looking for an events planner? What intrigued you about coming to work for the Guadalupe Radio Network?
I've always had a love and interest in planning. And since I was younger, I was the eldest of 5. So I like being bossy and running things. So
this is
perfect. And, you know, in every job I've had, I've always had to be a part of, you know, planning and coordinating and it's a pleasure and an honor for me to be here to be the new events coordinator. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're great at planning, this is the job for you because there is a lot of events that, you know, you'll be planning, you'll be coordinating, working at. And I know it's going to be very, very exciting because, you know, we have 48 stations, you know, 10 of them are in English. So 38 in English, 10 in Spanish. And so there's a lot of touch points, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking everywhere from Washington, D.C. to Florida to Alabama to Dallas, Houston, Midland, West Texas.
Wow.
Lots of markets, right?
Yep.
And so
and growing. It's still growing.
And growing. Yeah, we're 48. I can see us being at 60 anytime soon. So once we, I'd love for us to be in the Midwest somewhere because my son's in Chicago. I'd love for him to.
There you go.
Yeah, for us to be up there. But we'll see what comes with that. But yeah, you're going to be plenty of busy, and, you know, it's exciting. And your family, how did they feel about when you said, hey, I'm going to go work for the Guadalupe Radio Network?
They were excited. I mean, my kids have gone to private school, so a Catholic private school, so they're used to seeing Sean. I've actually known Sean from before working in the church, so it was a blessing to be able to come in and interview with him and meet with him, and I will be working with him. They're excited.
Yeah,
they're actually listening right now. So, hi, guys. Love you.
They're listening. Your mom's doing great. I wanted to ask you, too. Prior to this, you mentioned you were working at St. Anthony Mary Claret?
No, I actually used to work at Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church.
That's right.
And San Fernando Catholic, San Fernando Cathedral. So,
and what did you do for those two?
I started off volunteering when my kids were going to school to Our Lady. Unfortunately, they don't have the school anymore, but they started school there. And I used to volunteer, just substituting and helping wherever they needed, you know, help.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, a lot of the churches and schools don't have a lot of funds to bring people on. So that's what started my journey, you know, being there. And I ended up being their administrative business coordinator and took over and helped with the the business relations between the school and the church. And then from there, I was a business, the business manager at San Fernando. So,
wow.
Being at San Fernando, yes, it's a beautiful church and it's very busy and had a lot to do with coordinating and planning and wonderful people, wonderful community at both churches. So I'm excited to start this journey with you guys here at GRN.
I tell you, we do a lot with the cathedral, Father Carlos out there. Yes. I mean, we do a lot with them, and it's so nice to have a downtown cathedral.
Yes.
And we do a lot, just to let you know, with the National Shrine of the Little Flower Basilica.
Yes.
And so, you know, here locally, we do a lot with them as well. But, you know, I manage 5 of the 48. So with us, it's going to be about planning, you know, our Fishers of Men dinner.
Yes.
And I know Dallas has a summer speaker series. They got a lot of things that they do over there as well. And as well as some events that we're trying to, you know, bring to San Antonio, that like D.C. has a Topgolf event.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to coordinating and events, it's going to be a busy time for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's going to be a fulfilling time for you.
Of course. I'm going to have to put my kids to work and help.
Yes.
Me.
You know, and that's not uncommon, you
no,
know,
it's
for
not.
Kids to come in, help us out, you know, and we're always looking for volunteers.
Oh,
if you're
of course.
Out there and you hear anybody that says, I would love to volunteer.
Yes.
Take their name and number.
And here I am today, too. If anybody's interested, please feel free to reach out to me and call me. We can get together and have you guys on board and help us volunteer for our event here at Guadalupe.
And I'm also going to share, because we got like a couple more minutes left, but Share-a-thon, we do that 4 times a year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We start with the spring. We have a summer. We have a fall. And we have a Christmas. Okay. So during Share-a-thon week, Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., we're on the air asking for pledges, either monthly or one time. You're going to be my co. You're going to be in here at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. That's usually my hours, unless they change it up. But 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So we've got work to do with prepping you for the next Share-a-thon and how that works, because there's a lot of moving parts there.
Yes. So I hope you guys get used to my voice and being on here with Gordy. So thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited.
You're a natural, and I believe it's going to be great. And, you know, to you, all the blessings and to your family. And, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. So you coming here is God sent. And, you know, we're going to pray for your success and, you know, pray for the success of the Guadalupe Radio Network, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
But like Sean said, you know, we begin our day in prayer. We pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which I lead on Monday. So we'll be here at the conference table. We'll dial in and you're going to be able to see that. So you and I have a lot to do. I know you and Sean have a lot to do.
Yes.
And it's going to be exciting just, you know, having you here. And, you know, once you get to know the building and the guys, everybody who works here, it's going to become a little bit easier, hopefully. Okay.
It will. I'm sure you guys have helped me and welcomed me graciously. So I'm very thankful and excited. So thank you.
Well, Sandra Salinas, it's great to have you here, and I'm glad that you started your first day on In His Vineyard, because it is truly a joy to have, you know, an event planner here at the GRN that is going to be out there and helping, you know, guys like me, other GMs. You're going to get to know Dave Palmer in Dallas, you know, and Wyatt and Zach in Houston. So I know your learning curve is pretty steep. So.
Yes.
We're going to help you all we can.
No, you guys have been great so far, so thank you. Thank you to everybody, you know, that's listening. I'm excited for this new venture, this new chapter, and thank you again for having me today on the show. It's been a blessing. It's going to be a blessing, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. It's going to be a blessing, and glad to have you here. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And everybody else, I want to go over this again, because I kind of, you know, went through it very, very quickly. Well, I'll do it when we get back on the other side. So, Sandra, thanks for coming in. And we're going to be back with Jason King from St. Mary's University Center for Catholic Studies. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Fullness of Truth's 20th Annual Catholic Family Summer Conference is fast approaching. Registration is open for Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, a conference highlighting evidence of God's existence. San Antonio's Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort is the place to be August 21st through the 23rd. The all-star speaker lineup includes Chris Stefanik, Dr. Edward Shree, Emily Wilson, and Father Carlos Martins. The conference has programs for the whole family, including a special youth track. For details and to register, visit fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
What is puzzling to you about living as a Catholic? What knots are there in your life you need help undoing? I'm Father Sam Medley from the SALT community, and I would be honored to answer your questions on The Quest, a pilgrimage of faith. You can listen live on the radio or in the free Guadalupe Radio Network app weekdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. We take live calls from listeners just like you with questions that you have. That's The Quest, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Atheists often justify their atheism by saying there's no scientific evidence for God. But this is problematic for two reasons. First, science can no more detect God than a metal detector can detect plastic cups. God, who is immaterial, is beyond the scope of scientific inquiry because science is restricted to detecting matter. This leads to a second critique. The argument confuses method with reality. Science's inability to detect God says nothing whether or not God exists. It's simply a manifestation of the limitations of its detecting powers. To say God doesn't exist because science can't detect him is to confuse the limitations of the method for knowing reality with what is real. So it really doesn't matter that science can't detect God, and therefore is not a justifiable reason to be an atheist. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And welcome back, everyone. So glad to have you. Sandra Salinas, first day as a GRN event coordinator. Okay, I said planner, but the event coordinator. And I want to welcome her on her very first day here on the job. Sandra, thank you for coming on. She did great. I mean, it was it's fantastic to have, you know, her on the air so quickly, 4 hours into her workday. First workday, and she is on the air. So glad to have her. And I said I was going to cover the Marian Conference. Okay, that Marian Conference is by Pilgrim Center of Hope. I want to give it a little bit more airtime because it is Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th. It is at the Boeing Center at Techport. That's over there off General Hudnell. And so you don't want to miss this historic event. It's going to be a 2-day event, but I'm sure it's going to be incredible. And you also want to go into pilgrimcenterofhope.org. Our friends over there are ready to take your registration. And I know they're going to put on a very, very good conference. So with that said, I want to make sure that, you know, I get to my next guest because we want to give him plenty of time from St. Mary's University, Jason King. He is the chair and director of the University Center for Catholic Studies. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You know, when you called and we had a conversation and you said, hey, I want to come on and build some awareness about, you know, what is the St. Mary's University Center for Catholic Studies, I was excited because I'm a graduate of St. Mary's University. Of course, I'm old. December of 90 is when I graduated. Walked the stage in 91. But, you know, it's so glad to have a fellow brother from St. Mary's University. So let's start with what is the University Center for Catholic Studies?
Thanks so much. As I do find it funny that how many St. Mary's alumni I run into. I was at the San Antonio Food Bank this weekend walking through the their farmer's market, and there was like, oh, you're from St. Mary's? Oh, you're from St. Everywhere I go. Everywhere yeah. I go. It's all over the place as well. So I love being there, and I love the fact that I get to direct their Center for Catholic Studies. It's a new initiative, relatively new initiative, started in the late 2018, 2019, yeah. To try to get it off the ground under the sort of leadership of then President Tom Mengler. And he really wanted to kind of advance the Catholic intellectual tradition sort of broadly, both right. internally for the campus, for faculty, staff, students, and also sort of externally for the community. Right. COVID hit, and then it's
stopped everything.
It stopped everything, and they sort of kept it going, and then they did a search and looking for a sort of director to kind of sort of build it up. And that's when I heard about the job. I was out in Pennsylvania, and they sort of brought me in there. And then, the center itself is meant to sort of occupy this space. It's not the theology department, which tends to deal with undergraduate students and the undergraduate sort of curriculum. It's not the ministry sort of department, which deals with the spiritual life of students and faculty sort of and staff. Both of those are wonderful, and I try to coordinate as much as I can with them. But the center itself is really meant to sort of advance and encourage the Catholic intellectual tradition broadly, and that means in for faculty, staff, and students inside to make sure they understand it, know it, discuss it, engage it, apply it to their sort of lives, but also sort of externally to the community, to the Catholic Church, to all sort of peoples around there as well.
And I know we're going to talk about, you know, some a lecture series you got coming up. Okay,
yeah.
That's where the community gets involved and gets to learn a little bit more, increase your Catholicism, your education, your knowledge. But what drew you to this? I mean, what experience did you have where you're like, you know what, I can do that?
Yeah. It's such a journey. It's just lovely. I grew up in Kentucky as a Catholic, and it's a French Catholic, which is an odd kind of some phenomenon. And I was always Catholic, but I had a powerful experience in college, and so I joked that I was a cradle Catholic who converted to Catholicism.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I just kind of like discovered the tradition, discovered those things. I loved it. It was my kind of intellectual life. I was a math major, but I loved philosophy. And then all my philosophy professors were like, "You have religion questions," and so I took those religion questions, and I went to sort of graduate school, and it really was the Catholic intellectual tradition that kind of moved me sort of broadly, its capaciousness. It helped me to think through a whole host of sort of issues that were plaguing me, from faith and reason, math and science, from how do you live a good life, how do you find sort of meaning. And that's really where it sort of led me. And then I did a lot of work in Catholic higher education, taught undergraduates, loved it. I love that sort of work, did administrative work. And then I sort of, you know, I'd been there for teaching for, you know, 20-25 years, and then sort of thought like, there's something, I'm kind of like looking around, what are the things that I can do? What's the next sort of tasks that are sort of there? And I remember a friend sent me the opening for the director for Catholic Studies position. And I was like, all right, that's sort of cool. And another friend sent it to me. I'm like, all right.
It's a sign.
And I thought like, I have this both like, from years of like teaching, this ability to do this, I have some administrative sort of experience, but I also have a broader sense of like, I can be of genuine service to this community, Catholic higher education, the Catholic Church. But even really what speaks to me is all the from my own experiences sort of growing up, all of these people in the churches that have faith, are devout, but also have this intellectual sort of hunger. So if I could sort of bring all of those pieces together, that would be wonderful.
And you've done a lot of research on Catholic higher education, right?
Yeah.
I know being cradle Catholic, I want to ask you what drew you to that topic, because you went very deep in our Catholic faith. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was really, and those results are really amazing. And we're actually sort of getting ready to do our third iteration of the study that demonstrates the added values that Catholic higher education has. But what happened to me is when I went to college, like I said, I was a math major, computer science minor, and I suddenly had these like deep kind of philosophical questions. And then I kind of approached my professors at the time, and they were like genuine mentors for me. And they were like, you need to sort of read the Bible. And then my philosophy professors were actually Lutheran ministers, and they were like, you need to know your tradition. So they were like, you need to read this Catholic stuff. You need to read the encyclicals. This was when John Paul II was Pope at the time. So you're reading like Veritatis Splendor and all of those sort of documents that are coming out. And so it just kind of like exploded and took off. And that experience in college was so profound for me that I was like, this is like the fullness of life. And that's why I went into teaching college, going into theology, and to teach undergrad. And that's really what I did that for 25 years. I think this is sort of wonderful and amazing. And then I thought, and then higher ed is shifting. That's the polite way to put it. And Catholic higher ed is sort of trying to figure out its sort of place in the 21st sort of century. And I wanted to hold on to that sort of experience that I had and that I'd had in my 20 years of sort of experience. And I wanted to do a figure out, like, I had all these study, all these stories and all of these anecdotes. I'm going to see, like, does this hold? Does this hold? Yeah. Does this really hold? And so I got it, talked to a bunch of buddies of mine, and we kind of conceived of a study. How do we make it rigorous? How do we sort of get sort of good results? And to really tell, is there not just the stories or the hopes or the desires, but can we sort of point to some evidence, some sociological evidence that Catholic higher education does something sort of different?
Yeah, because it's not just about jobs and income, right?
No, right. That was the beauty of this sort of study, is that the Catholic tradition does value jobs and work.
Sure.
It just says that, like, that's not the only thing. Like, those things are important. Yeah. That's part of it. Is part of your dignity is contributing to the common good. But it's more than, like, your life is more than this. You're sort of do this. And that's really what this sort of is. And those results pointed to those. But the quick take of the results is that the study was comparing 1,000 graduates of Catholic colleges and universities to 1,000 graduates of secular colleges and universities on outcomes like meaningful and fulfilling life, on community engagement and ethical decision-making. Those are the three main sort of outcomes that we had.
Right.
And on all three of those, they came out ahead, like, pretty significantly. And then we repeated the study in 2025. They came out ahead again. And I'm imagining, as we repeated it again, they'll come out ahead again. And then when you get to the job stuff, even though the job outcomes are high, they're actually higher than the secular ones.
Right.
But the point is that when they do that, they see their job as part of their vocation. And so they see it in those religious terms. Yeah.
Right. Now, over at St. Mary's University, because that's where you're at.
Yes.
Do you have, you know, students who come in and say, you know, I'm going to this Catholic university, but I know nothing about my Catholic faith?
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary, but it's reality.
It is. And I found that sort of, and I'll draw my own experience. Like, I did. I was a lifelong Catholic. I kind of got to college, and I'm like, I know this stuff a little bit, but not really sort of deep. And I was, like, surprised that the richness of the tradition. And so I feel like that when they voice that, you're starting to see that hunger for that.
They're starving for it.
And then what a university could do, and other people could do as well, is really feed that. I think that's so when I see those students, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Let me show you some great stuff. Let me show you some cool things that are here. Yeah.
And what I love about, you know, having you on the program is that, yes, you do encounter, you know, students like that, people like that, right, in the community, but you offer a lecture series that opens the doors, right? Opens the external, what's going on externally, to those internally.
Yeah. Yeah. Those lecture series are really sort of wonderful. And I'm trying to figure out, like, in the age of YouTube where you can download stuff, how do you get people that really speak to the community? And we had a wonderful sort of run this year. We've got three actual lecture series, the Escobedo St. John's lecture series that really does biblical topics. And then we've got the Lynn Great speaker series, which tends to do, like, Catholic intellectual tradition applied, like, we know what is it sort of impacting our sort of lives. And then the McTaggart lecture series, which does, like, Catholic intellectual tradition as well. Yeah, they're great series. And those are all donors, and they are just lovely people. So,
you know, if I'm listening right now, where do I go to find out information about the series, the lectures that are coming in?
Oh,
right?
Great. Yeah. The easiest way is to go to the website of the Center for Catholic Studies, but we also are trying to do all sorts of sort of outreach. We have a Facebook page, Instagram page. We try to do some radio advertisements. We're trying to get stuff in sort of the newspapers, just trying to let people sort of know. There is a newsletter, so if you go into the Center for Catholic Studies website, you get this little sign up for a newsletter. It doesn't come out very often, so it's not like a spam, but like once a month, and you can get a kind of update of the things that are going on.
And, you know, I want to talk about some of that, since we're talking about, you know, the speaker series that you have. You have three lecture series that are coming.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you know, some of the folks that you have coming in. Like, is it Carrie Alice Robinson, President and CEO of Catholic Charities?
Yeah.
USA.
Yes, USA. Yeah. She is wonderful. She's a great speaker. And she's coming in the spring, I think, in February. Yeah,
February of 27. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was fantastic. I met her at a conference, and just as dynamic and so committed to that. And she's connecting up the work of Catholic Charities to the biblical foundations of that, so the work of Jesus.
And she's going to be here in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Ada Sines, who's the local...
I know. I've got to reach out.
Yeah. She was on my program, sat right there.
I know. I've got to reach out. I'm going to try to reach out for all to all of these sort of community people.
Yeah.
I want to build partnerships with people. That's
And Jay Antonio, he was here. Now he's in New York.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, he did a fantastic job here as well. Ada took his place. And, you know, Ada's doing a fantastic job. I mean, it's amazing because if you're on Facebook, you follow, you know, all these organizations. Yeah. And they're out and about. They're meeting people. They're doing all kinds of stuff. What about, let's talk about... the McTaggart Catholic Intellectual Traditional Lecture Series. What is that about?
Yeah, so this was a great – this has been around actually at St. Mary's for a long time, and then it got moved into the Center for Catholic Studies. And Glenn McTaggart, who's an alumni of the law school, basically wanted to like, hey, let's give talks on Catholic intellectual tradition. They've covered a wide range of topics, and they've been really, really excellent. We have been brainstorming about how to make this sort of work, and one of the shifts that's doing – The Escobedo lecture with Carrie Robinson from Catholic Charities is in the evening, but the McTaggart lecture series are at lunchtime, and it's free lunch.
Oh, okay. So you got different times.
Yeah. So if you want a free lunch, we serve Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
That's good.
Yeah. So if you want a free lunch and a free lecture, because it's good for students, staff, and faculty, and I was worried people from the community wouldn't make it, but they come in because they could get in for lunch hour, get a lunch, and then sort of head back out there as well. And this one is really cool. I think we got three people coming in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it Father Patrick Flanagan?
Father Patrick Flanagan. Yeah. He's coming. He just wrote a book on good business, drawing on Catholic teaching. He's going to come and speak as part of Business Week, too. So I'm working with the business school there, trying to talk about the business and the gospel.
Yeah.
So I think that one's neat. We have a Dr. Paul Montaguerra coming like in November. He's talking about art and the gospels.
From Gonzaga.
Yeah. He runs their art museum out there. It's really cool. They have a huge sort of collection. And then in the spring, working with the law school a little bit is
Dr. Elizabeth Kincaid.
Yeah, Elizabeth Kincaid. She's up at Butler. She did her work at Notre Dame and has done this like amazing sort of work on law in the Catholic tradition.
Right.
Like Suarez, who's this kind of later, really important philosophical figure in the late Middle Ages. Yeah.
So we need to put out maybe on our Facebook page when these are coming, because the most recent that's coming up is October 27th.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've got another one that I'm about ready to finalize. I was hoping to finalize it this morning and like give you some breaking news.
Yeah.
But I haven't finalized it yet. So I'll send it to you.
Man.
Yeah, it'll come. And I think it'll be another good one. That might be in like September or early October.
So. Okay, yeah, because you got, let's see, it's going to be at the Greehey School of Business. See, this is how old I am. It used to be the ALKEC Business School.
ALKEC.
And then they named it after Bill Greehey.
Yeah. They're a great school. They do a lot of good work with the students. They have a very, like you walk in the door and it's got the kind of value statements written across the entrance there as well. So I always enjoy working with them. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So we're going to talk more about it. We're going to have a break here pretty soon. But just to let everybody know, I'm talking to Jason King. He's the chair and director over at St. Mary's University at the Center for Catholic Studies. They do have a spectacular speaker series that's coming up, one in October, one in November. And then in February of next year, 2027, you're going to be real busy because you got a couple in 27 that are coming up. And all this is to create engagement, right? Yeah. Not just within St. Mary's University and the students that are there. Of course, they're going to hear about it because they're going to see flyers all over the campus on Facebook and whatnot. But we want the engagement of the external, right?
I would love that. Yeah, I love to. I'm hoping to partner with people in the community, work with them. They can come to our events and let me know your events. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll help you get that word out because that's what we do. And I mentioned that at the very beginning of my program. I say on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events. And so I love reiterating that because that's what this program's about. And so we want to help support you, not just because you're St. Mary's University and I graduated from there, but because it is worthwhile. And so many people out there say, Gordy, Catholics just don't know the Bible. You know, we need to get better at knowing the Bible. I agree, but not everybody's into reading, from the very beginning to the very end, but we got to get to that point.
Yeah. This Veronica and Ruben Escobedo, who funded the lecture series, that was their point. Like, people should read the Bible. It's a good book.
Veronica Escobedo. I actually served on the Our Lady of Grace parish council with her.
Oh, yeah.
Under her.
Oh.
She was our pastoral council leader.
Yeah.
And I was on her, I guess you could say, her little group. But the Escobedos are awesome.
They are amazing. They
and
are
we'll,
amazing.
We'll talk more about them on the other side of the break. So everybody hang tight, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion with Jason King from St. Mary's University. We'll be right back.
Life coaching has been around for many years, helping people with their relationships, careers, health, and finances. However, with Stand Tall, it's all Christ-centered, and with that, important focus of mind, body, and spirit. We take life coaching to a whole new level. Find us at StandTallToday.com and get a free consultation with one of our experienced life coaches. Today is the day the Lord has made, so begin today with a new path for your life at StandTallToday.com.
My daughter is a hugger, and I love that about her. I grew up in a very affectionate family. My dad hugged us constantly and never missed a chance to say, "I love you." I pass that on. It's rare for my daughter to walk past me or her dad without wrapping us in a hug, usually followed by those same words. Scripture reminds us why this comes so naturally. In the Gospel of John, we learn we love because he first loved us. And in 1 Peter, we're encouraged to greet one another with a kiss of love. When Christ fills you with his love, it overflows. I think back to kissing her tiny newborn face, only for my mom to warn me not to overdo it until she held her and did the exact same thing. Love multiplies when shared, so the next time you see someone you cherish, give them a big hug. My coach's question is this: who in your life needs a hug today? This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Dunhagarmo, communications evangelist.
Catholic radio was there for me when I needed it. Even though I didn't think I needed it, it was there for me. I want everybody to know that I'm giving, not so that I can sit there and say that I gave to GRN for any other reason but this. I want that radio station to be there for anyone else who needs it also. They might not think they need it, but it's going to be there for them, whether it's in the future, whether it's right now. I want that radio station to always be there for them, just like it was there for me.
The Guadalupe Radio Network. Radio for your soul.
And welcome back, everyone. So glad that you're listening, because I love having you listen. It's so wonderful when I'm out there at different parishes and they say, "Gordy, love your show." I get a lot of informative information, and I love listening every Monday at noon, and you are listening to In His Vineyard. I'm your host, Gordy Zambrano. And again, I want to thank everybody this past weekend at St. Dominic Catholic Church for, welcoming me and really making me feel comfortable. It was so nice to be out there at St. Dominic. So if you would like me to go to your parish, simply send me an email, gordon@grnonline.com. It's that easy, gordon@grnonline.com. And I'm for the rest of the hour, we're going to talk to Jason King. Of course, he came in, and he is the chair and director over at St. Mary's University, the Center for Catholic Studies. And if you missed the speaker series that we were talking about, of course, we will post that on our Facebook page. But, you know, I was telling Jason, some people out there like to write down dates and they follow up with websites and stuff like that. Now, to find information about, you know, what's going on at the Center for Catholic Studies at St. Mary's and all the speakers, all they got to do is go into your website, right?
Yep. This is on the website. You'll sort of see it all right there. They tend to promote it. It tends to be relatively easy to sort of get to, or at least I think it is. And if it's not, please let me know. We'll fix it.
And, you know, we're going to go over those speakers again. And I'll tell you, the one that's coming up, right, is October 27th.
Right.
Okay. And that's Father Patrick Flanagan. Mm-hmm. He's got his PhD. Wow. Yeah. And that's going to be author of Good Business. He is the author of Good Business, Catholic Social Teaching at Work in the Marketplace. That's going to be interesting.
I think so. And this is why I trying to get these talks that sort of speak to the community and sort of the needs. And I think clearly the business students are interested in this, but it's part of Business Week and they're bringing in all sorts of business leaders and all sorts of business alumni. And so getting them also to, because they're hungry for this too, thinking about how is it that their business serves society, serves human beings, serves their neighbors, provides goods in the world, like all of those things are there. And they can provide, I think, some language to help us sort of think about or draw from the Catholic tradition to speak to that.
And you know, it's tough taking God to work.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to put it out there like that. It's tough taking God to work, even though he's the one that got you that work.
Yeah.
But so many people are timid. They're like, oh, I don't want to offend this religion or that. And then you get called out for it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you overcome that. There's got to be it's a fine line, but there's got to be a way, Jason.
It is. There's got to be a way. And I think, I mean, at least the beginning of it is like, you know, do good things. Be good to people. Like those are just those seem like small things, but actually they're pretty profound. And if you try to do that at work, try to do what's right, try to do what's good, try to treat people well, like that makes a huge difference in the workplace. I mean, I do think like sometimes work, even menial work, can become really good if you're working with good people.
Yeah.
And so like just that kind of nourishing. And he gives you he'll give you some principles from the book to start to think about what is the good actions that you should take.
Right.
How is it that your business should contribute to this? How is it that you should treat other people? And drawing from the riches of the Catholic tradition, the Catholic social teachings.
I want to talk to you about this because, you know, time goes by so fast when we're talking.
Yeah,
and this is great
yeah.
conversation. Now, let's see. The Center's lecture series also led the podcast Behind the Lecture.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that emerge? How'd you get that idea?
Well, I'm trying to think of like all the different ways to be connected. Like the thing that you're doing on your show, I just really greatly appreciate because I came to San Antonio a couple years ago and I'm like, oh, this is a great Catholic thing going on. Oh, this is another great Catholic thing going on. And I was like, oh, there's so much going on here. So how do we find out about it? And how do we sort of connect along those things? So trying to sort of do this and trying to find different ways in which we can also connect to people. And some people love the lectures. You get in, you get to have a sort of conversation. But then people love sort of podcasts too.
Podcasts are huge.
They're huge. And I had these great, wonderful people who would give the talk. But then I was like, well, I should tell, like, this person's got a really neat story. So this was the Behind the Lecture is like the speaker behind the lecture. Yeah. And we sit down for like 45 minutes, an hour, just talk about their backstory. Where do they come from? How do they get into their field? How do they write their sort of books? All of those things. And those have been really, really sort of interesting and reach a whole different crowd. Like the people that can't get there can
because you want to reach the masses.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why at GRN, at Guadalupe Radio, our digital footprint is so important.
Yeah.
Because we got to reach the masses. Yeah. That's what we do. Now, tell me about you. The center also started San Antonio Catolico.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. That's a project, a San Antonio Catolico project. What is that project and what is it trying to accomplish?
So I got here and I'm discovering this sort of amazing sort of history that's here.
Yeah.
It's amazing sort of background. And, Jerry Polio, who worked at St. Mary's as well as a history sort of professor, and Roberto Hermosa. Both of those sort of approached me to sort of, they were like, oh, we're working on this project. Is there something we can sort of do together? And they have been sort of doing interviews with people, collecting up little artifacts.
Right.
And they're also working with Elvira at the San Antonio Diocese Archives and trying to like kind of put together this story of San Antonio. I mean, it's been told, but but like kind of on the ground stuff too, all the work that all of these people were doing over here and trying to put that together. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the Catholic history has been told from the Northeast, which is sort of wonderful,
sure.
But there's this rich history from the Southwest that I feel like I want to like sort of promote. And for the Center for Catholic Studies in St. Mary's in San Antonio,
you
Texas.
You want to harness that.
Yeah, I want to tell that story. Yeah, yeah. And so we're hoping like if people have stories, one of the things I think we did the podcast for the lecture series, but one of my dreams would be to do like a little bit of like interviews podcast with all the people from the diocese. So if people are interested, contact me and we'll set up some kind of interviews and see what we can sort of do with that. Or if they have like little art of like – churches do like yearbooks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's all the things that we do. Those things are sort of interesting. And I know the diocese archives likes to have those sort of on file so people could do research on it. So
the
really
missions of San Antonio,
yeah.
Las Misiones de San Antonio, that they come on my program as well.
Oh,
Rebecca. And I'll tell you what, there's so much history there.
Yeah, I had a bunch of high school students here this past weekend, and one of the things that we did was go to Mission San Jose, and so we went to Mass and toured the place, and so it was really wonderful. Yeah.
Okay, tell me about this Wayfinders program.
So this is the program that was in there this weekend. This is great. So the idea is, I took it from a friend of mine. He was at Dayton University. So University of Dayton and St. Mary's University and Chaminade University in Honolulu are all Marianist universities.
Yep.
And so my friend at Dayton started this program called Wayfinders. And it was for high school students looking to find their way, right? That was the way, like that kind of resonance with the early Christian name of Christianity with the way. And but it was meant to have like both service and local connections and an intellectual sort of piece to that. And that, so we kind of brought it onto campus and did like, it's for those students that it's like I call it the head in the hands retreat, right? Because you're doing things and you're thinking things. So we do some seminars, read some books, and then we go to service sites. This year we went to San Antonio Food Bank. We went to the Town Twin Village, like the run by the Catholic workers. And then we went to Mission San Jose. And then we had a bunch of seminars reading people like Teo Bowman, Father John Nepple, Mother Teresa.
Gotcha. Now, I want to get to this because I grew up watching Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Okay. You wrote a book on Mr. Rogers.
I did. It was such a great time.
How'd you end up writing a book about Mr. Rogers?
I thought this was so cool. It was really funny. The place I was before St. Mary's was a place called St. Vincent College, which is in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is the home of Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Mr. Rogers production company, which does all the shows and stuff. Yeah. But we have the Fred Rogers archives.
Right.
And so this has all like a bunch of his letters. There's his graduate school papers.
Uh-huh.
So, and a colleague of mine came down and I did stuff on theology of marriage and theology of children and theology of culture. Like those are the three things. So she's like, let's do a book together on Mr. Rogers. And so we did a bunch of articles, a bunch of research.
Wow.
And it was just kind of like, it was after Laudato Si. So we did a look at his environmentalism.
Yeah.
And it was just really like, when you watch it as a kid, it's one thing. But when you look at it as an adult, it's so layered and there's so much depth going on.
Yeah.
And there is this kind of, you know, always his kind of, the whole idea of a neighbor is this sort of his Christian background. He doesn't talk about it explicitly, but it is this kind of Christian worldview that's behind.
And I grew up watching that. And whenever Simon came out, well, you know, my name is Simon.
Yeah.
And the things I draw come true.
Yeah.
I used to love that because I really believed if I draw it, it'll come true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it was wonderful. Like it was, and we did it during 2020, and it was this, you know, so I was writing it during 2020. So it was also this balm of sort of returning to this moment.
Yeah.
And it's a level of sophistication that you just didn't realize as a kid, but you sort of got it. Yeah, because he has this neat story about this trash apocalypse happening in the neighborhood of make-believe. They're overwhelmed by trash, and how do you do it? And then the real-life stuff is how all of the parents are helping out, and then the things that you can do to kind of help out. So he gives you, like hope, but also, like, mystery and possibilities and all of these sort of visions of how things might get solved.
So and it's really amazing that I was drawn to that program.
It is astounding. And its influence, like, we underplay the influence, like, his slowing down of the pace, his engagement with the audience. It really was meant to be this sort of relational piece. And that's preserved. Like, I run into people all the time. And then you've got, like, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, like, all these other shows that came out of that that episode. Yeah, so I loved it. Yeah,
When I heard that, when I saw that, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to talk about Simon.
Oh, yeah,
Okay, so we've got, like, maybe 3 minutes left. I want you to talk about, you teach a course called God, Work, and Money.
Yes.
Okay? And a course called Aliens, Monsters, Heroes, and Jesus.
Yes.
What are these courses about? And how'd you get into that?
So I teach, I'm an ethicist by trade, Catholic ethicist by training. And so I try to get stuff that really matters to students. So I teach the Catholic marriage class a lot because that students really care about their marriages. I got to the God, Work, and Money class because everyone was focused on major job. I need to do those things, go to school, sort of get a job. But there was never a moment where they had a time to like think about what they wanted to do with their lives. And I was like, oh, this is the course. This is at a Catholic school. This is the thing that we should do. Give you just at least a semester to think about what you're doing and sort of why you're doing it. So it really is that it's Catholic teaching, but it's also like, how is it that your work can serve your neighbor, can serve your own sense of purpose, can fulfill God's calling for you as well. So that was that. And I love it every time because all the kids, you start the class with kids caring about it.
Yeah.
And the other one is, I grew up in the 70s with Star Wars, so I love science fiction.
Oh, nice. So I love science fiction as well. Yeah.
And then I discovered, and then it was the era of Marvel, and then all, and so I had all bunch of, not every student, but a lot of students really like that stuff too. I'm like, hey, let's do a course on this. And it really is, if I'm going to be super sophisticated about it, it is, I call it like apocalyptic literature.
Yeah,
like it uses like images and monsters and to try to reflect upon what the world is and its problems, but also hope and salvation and sort of Jesus.
Yeah. I wish those courses were offered when I was there.
It's a beauty being on the other side as a professor. You could do all the courses and readings that you wanted to do.
Absolutely, because you see the change in students, like from today to, let's say 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They've changed.
Yeah, they have. They have. They've changed from like 10 years ago, I would say, definitely when I was there. Yeah, it is really, for me, I worry about like the cost is really high. So everybody, like it's hard to think fun and imaginative when you're looking at a big tuition bill and everything. I think all of these like external markers about like grades and internships and everything, but there's not there's kind of hunger for that internal, like the joy, the things that God's calling you to, just the sense of this is good things and I love to think about it and sort of serving God in the in your mind as well as your sort of heart. So
lastly, what do you hope that the Center for Catholic Studies at St. Mary's University, what do you hope that it contributes to? Not just St. Mary's, the church, but San Antonio overall in the next few years?
That's a great question because I feel like the Catholic intellectual tradition speaks to the deep needs of the human being. Yeah. And I want to offer that out in connection with all the other people in the society and the community that are doing that. And I feel like that is partly the way that you can speak about the gospel to people in the Catholic community. But even extending beyond the Catholic community, how is it that can we have a society and a community that is good and nourishing for people? So that's really my hope. Whatever I do in that kind of intellectual space that we have there.
Well, I hope our listeners, they got a lot out of this. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Jason King, chair and director over at St. Mary's University, the Center for Catholic Studies. And I'll tell you, this has been a great conversation. I'm glad you came on. And yes, we want to help you build awareness and make sure the word gets out, especially for your lecture series.
Great. Thank you.
I think it's going to be important. And I think you're bringing in the right people, covering the right topics at the right moment in time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, Jason, you're always welcome. And I want to encourage you, before you have a speaker coming on like a month prior, send it to me so I could do a public service announcement. Okay?
Absolutely.
They're totally free. And we'll announce that speaker, the time, the who, what, when, where, and we'll get that out for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
That's Jason King, everybody. St. Mary's University Center for Catholic Studies. It's been a great hour. I want to thank everybody for listening in. And we will be back next Monday. And want to wish everybody a blessed week. God bless you. We love you.
Transmitting the treasures of our Catholic faith to your radio every day. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Join us in praying a Hail Mary for families facing illness, unemployment, or death. May they keep the flame of hope burning in their hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This is Kathleen Tong with Colby Prison Ministries. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for the 2026 Colby Prison Ministries Annual Conference on Saturday, July 25th, at St. Paul Community Center in San Antonio. Come hear inspiring presentations from Bishop Gary Yonick, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Father Alejandro Trillo. You also experience powerful testimony from prison ministry volunteers and formerly incarcerated men whose lives have been transformed through faith, hope, and the love of Christ. Whether you're interested in serving inside a correctional facility or supporting the mission from the outside, there is a place for you in this ministry. Visit ColbyPrisonMinistries.org to register today. That's KOLBE, prisonministries.org to register.
Have you ever heard someone say, we should not blame people for whatever bad things they do? We should not judge them for their faults. We should be kind and merciful. Well, of course we should be kind and merciful. However, it's not merciful to say that we should not blame them for the sins that they commit. As G.K. Chesterton says, blame is actually a compliment. It's a compliment because it's an appeal to a man's soul. When we call a man a coward, we are, in so doing, asking how he can be a coward when he could be a hero. When we rebuke a man for being a sinner, we imply that he has the potential of being a saint.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul.
Catholic radio for your soul.
Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.